John's Gospel, chapter 14. Just to share with you a few thoughts that I have been enjoying over the last few weeks. We're going to do a bit of reading this morning, but I'm sure even the reading of God's Word will be a blessing to our hearts. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and reading from verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And as I often like to quote those words that Mr. Boswell, when he was here many years ago, he was saying, "You believe in God, you're believing in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there he may be also. And whither I go, he know, and the way he know." And Thomas said unto him, "We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then just down to verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now it's just around that last word in that verse there that I want to talk about, not specifically that word, but "let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." But the word "fear." Fear not, in fact. I think our brother's hymn that he gave out earlier today said, "Jesus, Lord, I need thy presence as I journey on my way." And of course, I think that the idea there, partly of the hymn writer, was the fact that there are times in our lives when we experience fear, times in our lives sometimes when perhaps we need to do things and we don't do them out of fear. And God wants to remind our hearts this morning to fear not, because he is with us. And we're just going to look at a few incidents of this, and let's turn to Acts chapter 27. It's not the kind of fear that we see in the world today. I sort of drive around, and you probably have too, and you've noticed that some vehicles have on the back window "no fear." And I think that's I suppose some of the drivers of those motor vehicles, I don't know whether they're trying to say how daring they are, but they've got no fear on the road. Or perhaps like this airline pilot who, when he got on board the plane, walked past all the passengers, and then before he got into the cockpit, he put this big sign up, "No fear." So I don't know about the people who were flying with him, whether they thought that he was going to take some chances or not. But anyway, the fear that I want to speak about is the fact that we need not fear anything in our lives, because God is with us. And as the hymn writer says, "Fear not." Or he says, "I need thy presence." He acknowledges the fact. So let's just turn to Acts chapter 27. And we'll read some verses there. "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Arimathea, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and refresh himself." The background of this, of course, is that Paul was arrested, and he was brought before the different, we know he was brought before Festus, and Festus tried him, because they, of course, wanted to put him in jail, and Festus was just didn't find there any reason to put Paul in jail. And then he sent Paul off to King Agrippa, and we know how that King Agrippa, after listening to Paul's conversion, how he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. See, even in front of King Agrippa there, knowing what they were about, Paul had no fear, because he knew that his trust was in God. And he just told Agrippa all about himself and his belief in God. And to his amazement, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And then he said, oh well, I'm not going to try you any further, Paul. We know how that Paul claimed to be a Roman citizen. And he then sent Paul off to Caesar. And they had to make this journey on this vessel across the waters to go to Caesar. And it says there in verse 4, and when they had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salome. And hardly passing, it came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And it came to pass, and because the haven was not commodious to winter, in the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Venice, and there to winter, which is in an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south, west, and north. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempest wind called Eurocyclone. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fail or fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we were being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, and they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved when was then taken away. So here we find on this occasion that Paul had given these men the advice that it was unwise to sail, but of course they ignored his advice and said, well, no, we've got to listen to the master of the ship, we've got to listen to the owner, and we've got to set sail and be on our way. It reminds me when we came over here about in 1970, when we left South Africa to come to Australia, we had a similar situation where we were warned of bad weather and high seas leaving from Fremantle. And the captain wasn't keen to go, But the head office in London said, no, you've got to go, else you won't be reaching your other destinations on time. And then, of course, we experienced that awful night of storm and fear on the boat, and the boat being tossed about, and, of course, eventually with the all steering broken, etc., etc., we had to head back for Fremantle with the guidance of many tugboats. Similar situation. But here we find that they ignored Paul's advice and they went on. We read further into verse 21, but not long after abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wasn't that wonderful there, that Paul, the man who trusted and believed in God, he was the most calm person on that vessel. He'd warned them and he told them what was going to happen. Said there would be bad winds and harm would come about. But of course they ignored his advice. But amongst all that, we find that Paul stood up, and his faith in God was so strong, and he knew that God loved him. He knew that God would take care of him. And Paul could stand up and say to them, fear not. Fear not. He said in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. And then Paul told them how that the ship would be lost, but everybody on board would be saved. This word fear not appears 84 times in the scriptures. 84 times. But we're only going to look at about three or four of them, and just encourage our hearts that we have a God who is with us. Lord, I need thy presence. And what can we say? This is the fear not of God's presence. The fear not of God's presence. No matter where you are, no matter where we might be, and I'm sure that Craig, traveling in his journeys around Australia, at some times he knew that the presence of God was with him wherever he traveled and wherever he went. But isn't it wonderful? Here were all these men in this boat, and the verse told us, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they had fear within their hearts. But you and I, we have this faith and trust in God, and we know that maybe sometimes there could be a little bit of uncertainty, but we need not fear, because whatever the outcome, God is with us. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And even for you and I, who witness for the Lord from day to day, as in Matthew chapter 28, he said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you unto the end of the age. So no matter where we might be, no matter what we might be doing, the situation we might find ourselves in, God says, fear not, for I am with you. And isn't that a very comforting thought, to know that God's presence is with us? The fear not of God's presence. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. And verse 31 says, "Fear not, he therefore, he are of more value than many sparrows. Fear he not therefore, for he are of more value than many sparrows." Just like to go back to chapter 6 and read from verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what he shall eat or what he shall drink, nor yet for your body what he shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of." There we have a wonderful illustration again of God's care. You know that people in the world today, they fear many things. They fear their lives, and we know when we listen to the news how people fear their lives because people have been killed, people have been attacked on many occasions. People fear their safety. They fear their jobs. And we know from day to day how we can read about people losing their jobs. I only drove down Bonds Road during last week or the week before, and there was about 200-300 people in the street there. And I eventually heard that the reason was this company in Bonds Road, they were going to put off so many people. And there were fear in the hearts of those for the jobs that they were going to lose. We have fear of our families, that they are safe, what they will do, that God will care for them. We fear for their future. People fear for their future. What will the future be? But praise God, when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our faith and trust in him, we need not fear. Because here we've read in this particular passage here, we can call this the fear not of God's provision. Two things which bring fear and anxiety to the people of the world: what shall we eat? And with what shall we be clothed? And we find that a lot in the world today. There is a lot of poverty amongst a lot of people, and our hearts go out to them. But isn't it true how that sometimes we, within our hearts, reach out to them and say, well, because their trust is in man, they seem to continue and linger with the problems that they have. But if only they put their faith and trust in God, he will provide for them. Whether it be raiment or whether it be food. If God so careth for this little sparrow, how much more does he not care for you and I? And I have seen it. I have seen it in my own experience back in South Africa, where you have people living in poverty and in fear, and you observe them And then you see the Lord Jesus Christ coming into their hearts and lives. And from that moment on, things change for them. And you wouldn't say that that was the same person sitting unclothed on the street corner or half clothed on the street corner, looking like a beggar a few weeks ago. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes in, he makes that provision. But you know, in the world today, lots of people put their trust in man, and therefore not always are their circumstances provided for. So here we have the fear not of God's provision. Let's look at Daniel chapter 10. Now we know Daniel was a man of prayer. And perhaps what we will do first of all is just go over to chapter 9 and read some verses there. Verse 3 of Daniel. Verse 3 of Daniel chapter 9. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. Here we find Daniel. We know Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was a man of prayer, daily prayed him three times, till one day they had him cast in a den of lions. Even then, in the den, fear could not alarm him. God just shut the lions' mouths so they could not harm him. But Daniel, this great man of prayer, we know how that the people try to discredit him against the king when they found him praying three times a day. They told the king, look, King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, he's praying to his God, he should be praying to you. But we find that Daniel, this great man of prayer, even here in this chapter 9, there was some fear within his heart as he seemed to approach God in prayer. He says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and judgments. If we go to chapter 10 and we read verse 10 to 11, and behold, an angel, behold, an hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. How many times perhaps we have got on our knees and prayed to God and felt perhaps that we were, well, not up to the mark. And we feared, is our prayers getting through because of our daily situations and how we sometimes disobey God. But here God comes, and the angel came and said to Daniel, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Here we have the fear not of prayer. And dear brethren and sisters, at any time, again, no matter where we might be, what the situation might be, God wants to remind you and I, no matter what the situation, no matter what we think of ourselves, no matter how weak we might feel that we are, or how insignificant we might feel we are, God says, fear not. And to get on our knees and pray. We know the Bible says, your heavenly Father knoweth before you even ask what things you have need of. But the Bible also exhorts us and says, by prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. So let there be no fear in our hearts as regarding the approach of the throne of grace, that we may call upon God at any time. Have no fear within our hearts, for He is waiting to hear our supplication. The fear not of prayer. He is the same. The God of Daniel is the same God today. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. Then just the last one in Revelation chapter 1. We know how that John on the Isle of Patmos, how he saw all these scenes before him. And maybe there was a little bit of fear in his heart as he thought over these things that had come before him, these visions. And verse 17 says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Fear not, I am the first and the last. And here we have the fear not of God's protection. And as John saw these visions, what was going through his heart and through his mind, I don't know, but God had to come along and say to him, fear not, John. I will protect you. In Genesis chapter 15, we read these words, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So my thought to you this morning is just simply this: whatever we do for God and how we live our lives, let us not fear at times to do things or to speak for Him, or even to approach the throne of grace in prayer. It's a little verse that I came across that I like. It says, at times our fears may loom so large, we long for proof that God is near. It's then our Father says to us, have faith, my child, and do not fear. So may those fear nots there just revive our hearts as we seek to witness and testify for God and live our lives for Him. And whatever we might do, if we have a little bit of thought about it, let's just say into our hearts, fear not, because we know that God is by our side. We have His presence, we have His protection, and He will undertake for us.